Well, hey there, and welcome back to another episode of the Plain Hooky Bowfishing Podcast. I'm your host, Captain Cody. Joining me on this week's episode, all the way down in Alabama with Fatal Impact Guided Bowfishing, Captain Cole Coltis. And let me tell you guys, you know, I say it every week when we have these guides on, like, I always tell you to go check out their social media because of all the giant fish that these people are shooting and the awesome bow fishing opportunities that all these guys have. And I'm going to say it again, right? While you're listening to this, after you're listening to this, go check out Fatal Impact Guided Bowfishing on Instagram and check out some of these awesome fish that Cole is guiding clients to. It's pretty awesome. It's kind of on my bucket list to get down there. And yeah, we're going to talk about all things Alabama. And yeah, it's going to be sweet. So Cole, welcome to the podcast, man. How's it going?
Hey, Cody, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. I'm pumped to have you on.
Awesome. Heck yeah. I'm ready to talk some bow fishing.
Sweet. Well, let's do it, man. Why don't you just talk a little bit about how you got started in the sport? Like, where did it all begin for you?
Yeah, cool. So I grew up pretty much in the outdoors, hunting and fishing, my family and stuff. And I was probably about 10, and my parents got me my first bow fishing bow. It was a AMS kit, and I used to kind of mess around in the creek, blow the house and stuff, but there wasn't much to shoot. And I was probably 11 or 12, and someone finally took me on a boat. And I was hooked. I was eat up with it from then on. So, like, all through middle school and into high school, I got a little better equipment, and I was wading the creeks, bank shooting, begging to get on the boat, and it just kind of went on from there. And I was like hardcore addicted. I did it every chance I could get.
Yeah, I don't know if it's possible to go bow fishing and not instantly become addicted to it, right?
When I tell people, you know, when I take them on the trips, I'm like, look, I've never had anybody that didn't have fun doing this.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's just, everybody listening knows too, you know, it's one of the most fun things I've ever done. Absolutely.
For sure.
Cool. So you're down in Alabama. Why don't you talk just a little bit about, like, you know, the kind of bow fishing opportunities that Alabama has? I know a lot of people like know Alabama as like a destination place to go, but why don't you talk a little bit about like some of the waters that you're kind of like specializing in?
Right. So I run my trips on the Tennessee River. Most of the time I'm on Lake Gunnersville or Lake Wheeler. Tennessee River we have a huge variety of fish, and we've got some big ones too. Pretty mild weather most of the time. I guess most of my people that come to see me, they come for the big buffalo. We've got big grass carp, and we can shoot catfish. We've got big catfish and stuff too, but the buffalo are the most, I guess, notable thing that people are usually, you know, if I get guys that bow fish and they're somewhere else, they come with me to try to shoot a big buffalo. We just have a pretty amazing river system. It's healthy, especially Gunnersville. Lots of grass, tons of flats, shallow. It's a little tough. It was kind of tough to fish. But we've got a lot of nice fish, a lot of healthy fish.
You know, that's really great to hear. I've heard kind of through the grapevine that, like, you know, Gunnersville is like gone downhill, but it sounds like it's putting out just as many fish for you as it ever has.
Yeah, the only thing that's went downhill on Gunnersville in the 90s, it was stocked with triploid grass carp, which can't reproduce. So late 90s, early 2000s, everybody was shooting giant grass carp on Gunnersville just like all the time. And now they're dead. So that, I mean, there's some that get loose that can reproduce, but the majority of the grass carp that were out there were sterile. And I think they stocked like 300,000 or something. Don't quote me on that.
Wow.
And, I mean, it's pushing 30 years that they've been being shot. And so they've been knocked back pretty good. But the buffalo and everything else is just as strong. I mean, last year we had our state record buffalo broken, and we shoot, I mean, we see the big ones every year. I think the biggest thing that causes you know, poor fishing is mostly just conditions. We'll have a swing one year where there's, you know, maybe just a lot of, like COVID year, for instance, there was tons of recreation on the water, lots of pressure on the lake. Fish just weren't shallow as much. And then you'll have, you know, flooding or a lot of rain where you, you know, might mess up the fishing. But for the most part, the buffalo numbers and everything is just stays the same, the best I can tell.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, it's really cool to hear, though, that, I mean, you know, you might not get the same grass carp opportunities that people used to get, but, I mean, I'll take a big buffalo any day. I mean, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, there's places that have the grass carp, and there's places, other places on the Tennessee River, other lakes that really have more grass carp than we do. It's just a bit of a drive for me. But there's still a few around. They're really hard, and it's not like you can go count on getting one, you know. It's kind of a special deal when you actually see one and get it. They're tough. Whereas the buffalo, usually, you know, we've kind of got a game plan. We can get on those. So.
Sweet. Yeah, well, and, you know, we're going to talk some more about those buffalo. But before we get there, why don't you just kind of tell everybody how you, you know, I mean, you had this – passion for bow fishing, and you know, you were really getting into it, and then you decided at some point to start guiding. Why don't you talk a little bit about that, like, journey, how you got into guiding?
Yeah, so like I said, middle school and stuff, I was bow fishing every chance I got, and my father actually had his own archery shop, and just a small little mom and pop deal. And I guess when I was just going into high school, he got bought out by a place called Backwater Outdoors, and it was the biggest bow fishing company in the world. I mean, online, I don't know if you ever heard of Backwater or bought anything from it. Did you?
I've never bought anything from him, but I have heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's gone now, but at the time it was the biggest thing as far as bow fishing. So my father started working there, and that got me a lot more bow fishing opportunities, going out with guys. And the owner had a TV show for a short time called Iron Man Bow Fishing, and I got to help out with that and get on the water. And then all that kind of run its course, and it was getting towards the end of my high school career, and I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do, you know, for a career. And I've always had a normal job doing something in the outdoors, but I decided to go with a couple other guys to the captain school when I was a senior and get my captain's license. I did archery in schools the whole way, and used to do archery lessons for kids and stuff. And I was like, I got to figure out a way to kind of combine all this, and, you know, I can help people shoot and I can do what I love. And so I went to the captain school and got my captain's license. And, as soon as I graduated high school, I started doing the guiding, and the first 2 years were pretty good. And after the first 2 years of really, I guess I'm starting right on about 7 years now of doing it. And after those first couple years of really working, it blew up then, and now it's all I can stand.
That sounds really awesome, man. That's, I think it's not super often that, you know, people figure out what they want to do, like, immediately after high school. Like,
right.
I feel like it usually takes people a while to figure that out. So that's really cool that you just knew and you're still doing it today.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully I'll be doing it as long as I'm physically able. I've always been the type of guy that I want to, you know, do things in the outdoors and do things I enjoy. And I may not be the richest person, but sure do have a lot of fun and meet a lot of cool people. So that's what's important.
That's right. Yeah, that's what it's about, man. That's super cool. So now you said you're 7 years in. Why don't you talk a little bit about, you know, your client base and, like, your season, and, like, just give me, like, a walkthrough on, like, you know, are you taking out bucket listers or new people or a combination? And then how long does your season last?
Yeah, so our season, really and truly, I mean, you can shoot them all year. Our lakes don't freeze up. I'm a big deer hunter, so during deer season, I'm not bow fishing as much. But you could, like, you know, I'll get a warm night or something in December or January. I might go out for a little bit. But most of the time, I run my trips from March through November. seems to be the best time to get the most good weather. And we have weird weather here in Alabama. Sometimes March we may have snow. It may be 80 degrees and kind of same thing for this time of year. Right now it's like 80 degrees. The fishing's great, but by the weekend we're going to have freezing temps. So it's very strange. But I'm fortunate where I live. I have a really big, you know, bow fishing season, so to speak. We have a long window to shoot them. And you could keep shooting them. I'm just, when it's super cold, I don't really like getting out. It's not as fun, you know, yeah. All the clothes and stuff. But as far as clientele goes, man, I take, like, a huge variety of people. Like, just, I get these, you know, hardcore rednecks that are just, you know, killers, hunters, and they're ready and they go. And then I'll get these, you know, groups that have never done anything outdoors ever, you know, and that's awesome, but huge variety of people. And I'm right here outside of Huntsville. Huntsville's getting bigger. Tons of people that are local, you know, I get a lot of interest from, but I also get a lot of out-of-staters. And I get a lot of people that bow fish and just want to come shoot Gunnersville or try to get a trophy buffalo. I get that too. So, I mean, it's safe to say I get very, very beginner level people. And then I also get these guys that have been bow fishing for, you know, 20 years and just want to come shoot some buffaloes. So,
yeah, that's sweet. Like it, you know, you're constantly changing up who you're out there with. Like, it seems like you kind of always got to be on your toes when you have a bunch of different people like that.
Oh yeah.
That's awesome. So now when you're guiding, are you, you know, I've never been to Alabama. I don't know how things lay out. Is it like up here in Minnesota, for example, you know, I don't have like specific, like if you want to shoot this kind of fish, that's what we're going to do. Like usually all of our fish just kind of all hang out together.
Right.
And so we just go out and shoot whatever's available. Is that kind of the same in Alabama, or do you have like specific times of year when you're targeting certain things or specific spots or what?
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit of both. So, like, and I basically, like, if I get new people that have never bow fished, we're just trying to go shoot fish, you know, wherever I can get them the most shots. Whereas, like, if I get these that, you know, are specifically after big buffalo, then I'm like, okay, we need to go here this time of year, so on and so forth. But fall time is my favorite time for the big buffalo here, like right now. Basically, from, like, the end of August through December, it's pretty consistent. Bigger buffalo move up and we can shoot them, and I'm specifically targeting them. During the summer, I would say mostly is when I'm kind of shooting everything together. And what's weird here, I don't know about up there, but our commons are really more through the winter. Like basically from December to May is like when the commons are up. As soon as it gets hot here, we don't really see our commons much anymore.
Sure.
Like they go deep. So like when people book trips with me, March, April, usually we're mostly shooting commons. And our buffalo really don't move up good and consistently till it gets good in summertime. I mean, the buffalo spawn in the spring, of course, and you can wear them out when they do that, but it's just real hit or miss. I hate booking trips around the spawn because it's feast or famine. Like they're, when they do it, I mean, it's all you can stand, but it's, and when they're not up, they're just not up.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, that's kind of similar to here, you know, I mean, exactly like you said, I mean, when you hit the day or the couple of days just right, like you can,
right.
you can really pile the body count for the buff spawn, but when they're not, they are just, they're gone, you know?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's what I tell people who want a big buffalo. I'm like, look, the spawn's when you can get it, but I feel a lot better about you coming in the fall. And we have our fish, like, well, Lake Wheeler is one lake I fish, and it's actually got tons of buffalo and gar, but they're not as big. It's a great place to take new people. But then I go over to Lake Gunnersville, and that's where the buffalo are big, but they're harder to fish. They move, like, every single night. I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but they change constantly.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They're hard to stay on, but once the grass is up and it's kind of the end of summer, those bigger ones start coming up and it gets a little easier to find them. But Yeah, definitely different times of the year yields different stuff. I'd say commons early and for the most part in buffalo late.
Yeah, that makes sense. What does, I don't know if you pay attention to water temp or not, but what does your water temp get like in the peak of summertime?
At times it'll be in the 90s.
Oh my gosh.
And I don't much care for that. Like when it's the heat of the summer, we won't shoot any fish till about 11 or 12 at night.
Yeah, I suppose.
Any fish to speak of, anyway, like, you know, we'll shoot some little gar and stuff, but towards later in the night is when the good stuff is going to move up. They got to let it cool off. And I think that's a big reason fall is so good for us. The grass is still up from the summer, and the temperature hits that sweet spot that they like, where it's, you know, 60s and low 70s, and they love that. It's kind of like they're almost spawn temperatures, like they're moving up, getting ready to spawn again. They're just not quite doing it yet, but they're, you know, they want to be shallow.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, we up here in Minnesota, in the middle of summer, our water temp usually does not get that hot. If anything, we get into the low 80s. But that still seems like that's usually when we shoot a lot of our commons, is kind of in the middle of the summertime. We still have to usually wait like a couple hours into night for it to get a little bit cooler, but you know, that's obviously we're super far away from each other, so it makes sense that it would be different. But
well, what's really weird, and this is something that I don't understand and I still don't get, is we grow really big grass carp. We get huge grass carp. We grow really big buffalo, as big as anywhere, and our commons don't get big. I mean, our commons are nothing like you guys' commons up north.
Sure. I wonder if that has something to do with grass carp, because we don't, I mean, there's a couple of spots like in Minnesota, in the lower part of the state, like the lower pools of the Mississippi in Minnesota have some grass carp that have just come up from down south, but we don't have any grass carp anywhere else. And so I wonder if they almost like compete with each other.
I don't think so, because there's hardly any left on Gunner's Hill as far as my situation. I kind of feel like it may be the heat. I don't know if maybe the bigger ones stay deep more times out of the year in the grass, or they're just not there.
Sure.
It's like sometimes I have some huge ones shot. Like our state record's a 42-pounder, and a close friend of mine shot it. But that's like the fluke of all flukes. If you shoot a 25-pound common here, that's a big one. I mean, that's a dang good one.
Sure.
The whole time I've been doing this, I've only been on the boat 3 times that commons were brought in over 30 pounds, and they were just barely over 30 pounds.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Usually, I mean, a good common around here is about 20 pounds. I mean, that's a good one, and you'll get a big one to be, you know, that 25-pound range. They just don't get that big.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I think a 25-pound common is just nice anywhere. That's just a good fish.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I see y'all shoot some giant common sometimes.
Yeah, there's some pretty big ones up here. Our Minnesota state record is, the bow fishing one, is just a little over 50 pounds.
Yeah, see, that's just insane.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen one that big either, so, you know.
For years, until that 42-pounder was shot, like, our state record was always, like, about 35 pounds, like, forever.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was, like, a big jump. It was just a freak of nature.
Yeah.
It has to do something with the temperature. I mean, that's the big difference.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's got to be. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Interesting. Huh. I'm going to try and figure that out. I'll let you know if I figure it out.
Do some investigating.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, you know, we kind of are, you know, you dove into seasonality a little bit. Is there anything like, you know, I'm trying to think of people that, you know, are planning trips to go down to Alabama. What kind of, lay out the season and, you know, maybe a little bit more in detail, and talk a little bit about like where you can find certain kinds of fish at different, like, walk through the year, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So let's just say we start, like, I'm just going to do it by month from the beginning of the year.
Perfect.
So like January, go out, we don't have any grass growing yet. You're fishing super shallow. January through February is when you're shooting commons, real shallow, bowfin, drum. There is places you can shoot some buffalo. Usually if you find the buffalo that time of year, they're big. They're just not as prevalent.
Sure.
You'll find the big females that are up shallow waiting. But mostly you're shooting commons and bowfins, stuff like that, super tight to the banks. Water's usually a little dingy for us at that point, around February. Sometimes it's not, but usually we start getting rain about then, and it gets a little dingy.
Okay.
When you move into March and April, things start warming up a little. We're still shooting commons, shallow. There's starting to be a little bit of vegetation. That's when our spawns start happening. So, you know, anytime you could be wearing out the buffalo or the carp, and I usually stay on top of that pretty good. This year was a little tougher. The weather was just, you know, hot, cold. But I really like March and April. It can be some good shooting. And usually we shoot a lot of big catfish right in there too, because they're moving up to spawn pretty close to the other stuff. So usually the big flatheads and the big blue cats, we'll get a crack at them in March too, and sometimes April as well. Then we kind of, it starts to get summer. Oh, and I don't know why I didn't mention this, but the gar, we have tons of spotted gar, and believe it or not, you'll shoot those gar, like, even when it's super cold in January, they'll be shallow too.
Nice.
But as soon as it starts warming up in like March, April, there'll be lots of spotted gar, and then the big long nose come up to spawn. And you move into May and June, those fish are kind of starting to spawn out here, but they're still up shallow. So you can shoot a big variety of fish around May and June. You've got your big long nose that are still up, and your carp are still up from their spawn. And a lot of these fish, you probably know this, but they're a lot of times here, I guess because the weather changes so much, it may be different up there because it gets hot at once, but these fish won't just spawn and be done. There'll be different ones spawn this week, and then the weather may mess them up, and then a week later they spawn again. And I mean, I've shot long nose gar spawning for, you know, I'll shoot them in March, and then April, I'll shoot another run of them, and then May, they'll do it again. There'll be another run come in. So that spawn can last months in the spring with different stuff.
Awesome.
Usually try to move around and find where they're doing it at the time.
Yeah.
Usually they come in with each moon if it's warm enough.
Sure.
And then once we move into June, the grass kind of starts coming up a little more consistently on Gunnersville, and there's a little bit on Wheeler. And the buffalo starts to get a little easier. You're still shooting a few commons from the spawn, some gar, buffalo. And then July, the grass is really up. We start to see some good buffalo being more consistent, but you start to get into that thing where it's really hot. So July through August, there's good fish up, but it's super hot, and it's usually later in the night when you see them.
Sure.
So then we move towards the end of August, and it kind of starts to get a little better. Pretty much from the end of August all the way through to the end of the year, we're in buffalo mode then. And you'll shoot other fish, of course, when we're on trips, but that's when the big buffalo are moving up into the grass, and they're really a lot easier to find. Especially right now, if you catch a warmer, just a mild couple days this time of year, that's when you might shoot a giant. That's when they really love to be up. Early spring, early summer, if you just want to shoot a bunch of different fish, you know, it's a good time.
Yeah.
Just come and wear them out. But then once it gets to this time of year, that's when we're shooting the big ones. And this is actually a good time of year to run into those big grass carp too, when they're when you can find them. They like to pull up too, that temperature. They just like it when it's kind of in that happy medium. It's not real hot. It's not super cold yet. And they like to be up for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really, really cool. I can see a lot of similarities. As far away as we are from each other, I can see a lot of similarities between Minnesota and Alabama. But then on the other hand, I mean, it's pretty different too. You know, I mean,
right.
going back to talking about, you know, the multiple groups, you know, spawning month after month, like, we get a little bit of that, but it's for us, it's mostly like lake to lake and like, right, you know, one lake or one river, they'll be spawning this week. And then a couple weeks later, then the next lake will hit. It certainly doesn't last as long as it sounds like it does down there, but kind of similar. But I mean, that kind of seems like a paradise, you know, if you can hit like a bunch of spawns like that, that's like the dream.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's the way it is. We have a lot of different water that's pretty close together. And I think a lot of people miss out on our spawn here because a lot of people don't bow fish during the daytime, which I'm kind of glad because it's, you know, more open space for me too. But there's not our fish don't do a lot of spawning at night, you know, like most places. They're out there during the sun, and at night they'll still be around, but they're not splashing and stuff like they are during the day. And there's literally the common carp on the lake. When they start spawning, you can go out there for a while during the day and shoot them. I mean, they go at it for a while.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty similar to here. The only fish that I've noticed that, like, consistently really spawns at night are the buffs. And, like, our carp and our gar, that's all daytime stuff. And sometimes, I mean, sometimes you can go there like the night after they were spawning during the day and they're all kind of just like, you know, recovering where they were spawning.
Right.
But a lot of times they'll just disappear. Like it, you can go to a body of water during the day and you'll see carp everywhere, spawning everywhere. And then you go back at night and you would think there wasn't any carp in the lake. I mean, they just disappear. It's nuts.
Yep. That's exactly how it works. The bass fishermen will say, oh yeah, they were everywhere, and then you go to fish and they're not there. That's exactly it.
Yeah, it's,
so you guys have some buffalo.
Yeah, oh yeah, we've got quite a few buffalo, and we get some pretty big ones up here too. I mean just looking at some of your pictures, it definitely seems like you're on the bigger ones more consistently than we are, but you know, I mean, anything connected to the Mississippi River, I'm convinced no matter what state you're in, there's just going to be good fish in it, you know?
We, of course, I take really good pictures. I make my fish look big, but they are they are big. I mean, I definitely try to make them look as big as I can, but we have a lot of those. We got a lot of 30-pound buffalo, you know?
Yeah.
A lot in that range. Anything... And I weigh all the big ones, so I know what they are and stuff. And anything over 40 is a really good one.
Oh, for sure.
And 30 pounds is a big one. I mean,
absolutely.
But there is a I see 30 pounders pretty regular on trips. And you'll have a night that, you know, the fishing may suck and you don't see them. But like Saturday night, I went out and I probably saw 15 fish over 30 pounds Saturday night. It was nuts. And I had some first timers and they shot a couple of them. They shot a 33 pounder and a 29 pounder, but we seen a couple that probably would have been around the 50 mark. And
oh my God.
And the 50 pound buffalo is like trophy class to me. That's the big one.
Absolutely. Dang.
And some nights they're up, you know, some nights they're just there.
Yeah. What's the biggest buffalo you've ever had in your boat?
In my boat would be 60 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
I got it. Now I did, my biggest buffalo was 65 pounds, but I shot it when they were spawning, when I was waiting. So it wasn't technically in my boat.
I should have just said what's the biggest one you've shot. Do you have that? Do you have the picture of that big one?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's okay. Anybody listening right now? That is going to be the picture of the thumbnail. You probably already saw it because you clicked on it, but that is the picture for this thumbnail for this episode, because that, I can't wait to see that fish. That's awesome.
Yeah. I'll send it to you. It was, that 65 was on the bank during the day, and I've seen, I can tell you for sure, three without a doubt that were over 70 pounds. You know, over the years on my trips, that's very spread out. That's a lot of time on the water and seeing those fish spread out.
Yeah.
And I mean, all of them were guide trips and all three of them missed them.
Yep. Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That is the most relatable thing I've ever heard. Yeah. That's how it goes, dude. Like that's one of my favorite things about guiding is like, you just get to see so much, and like, yeah, your clients usually miss the big ones, but like, then you know, like, I know that fish is in this body of water, and it just, yeah, it keeps you going, man.
So my luck is when I finally get a chance to go, I never see the big ones.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's absolutely.
I went, well, we went last week. We took a warm night. I took a friend, and I sent you the picture of the one big one we shot. It was, that one was 46 pounds.
Gosh, that's a nice and fish.
It was the biggest one I seen that night, and we shot a couple that were close to 30 with it. I was mostly scouting for my guide trip and, you know, not letting a big one go if I seen it. But
yeah.
So I was like, okay, we seen tons. I mean, just tons of 15-pound buffalo. So I was like, okay, this is perfect. So we left. And then Saturday I go out there with my new guys on the boat, and there were the big ones, just one after another. And they did good. I mean, they shot good, but I was like, man, I would have loved to have my bow Wednesday night in a 15 like this.
No kidding. Dude, that – I said it last week's episode too. I was like, man, I need to move out of Minnesota, and I just always feel like that because – I'm looking outside right now. It's like 30 degrees and I'm cold and I'm not bow fishing and I'm dreaming about being down there shooting big fish.
Yeah, we're going to go down here to shoot some of these buffalo.
Yeah, I'm jealous. Okay, why don't we, why don't you talk a little bit about your setup before we dive into how your season was? Talk to me a little bit about like the boat that you're running and bringing clients out on.
Yeah, so I've got a simple setup. I fish out of a Tracker Grizzly troll motor boat, standard. I've done a few, you know, upgrades to it and stuff, but I've got a simple, basic boat. I love using the trolling motor for guiding. I can go slow and be very thorough with people and help them shoot. And as far as my bows, I'm a major Oneida fanboy. I'm Oneida everything and the Muzzy Reels. I've got a couple Mega Mouse. They do pretty good too. Muzzy Reels, shoot the interlock arrows for big fish and shoot the Muzzy Points for everything else. But if I wasn't guiding, I might would have a different boat for chasing these buffalo because we'll actually physically like chase these buffalo down with a motor. Like some guys run kicker motors or mud motors and of course the airboats. Like you can when they spook, you can run them down and shoot them, and sometimes you can spook them up, but I usually try to just troll, especially with new people, because I can go slow and be very thorough with them, and sometimes there's buffalo that are a little too fast, and they get away, but that's okay, I mean, you know, that's part of it, but I love my setup for guiding, for sure. It does good.
I mean, no matter what you're running, like everything has a time and a place. And I run a trolling motor boat up here too. And it really is. It's great for guiding. You know, it's really, yeah. Well, yeah. Speaking of guiding, why don't you tell me a little bit about how your 2022 season went? What kind of season did you have down there this year?
It was pretty average, I would say, on fishing. It was, we had some bad weather early in the year. It seemed like it rained like every weekend, which is when most people can go, of course, but the fishing was pretty good. It was hit or miss. Some nights were kind of meh and some nights were like really good. So it kind of evened out. I would say it was better than the past year or two. When COVID hit, everybody was on the lake all the time, like just ski boats and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And for about a year and a half with the COVID deal, it was actually pretty tough fishing. They just don't seem to like when everyone's constantly on the water, I guess. It just keeps them knocked off the banks.
Sure.
And they weren't up real good. But this year was definitely a step up from the past couple. And this fall has been phenomenal when I've went for big fish. More big ones than I've seen the past couple of years, for sure. That's what I say. These things are on cycles. You'll have years, you know, that are just freaking awesome, and then there's years that are just tough. And a lot of people always scream, well, they're dead. They've all been shot. And I'm like, it's just the way it goes. Some years are good and some years aren't, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But this was a pretty good one. I had some good clients. I had a couple sketchy things. I had the first time I had someone set up a fake trip, and I'm pretty sure they were like trying to rob me. So that was a new one.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. So, but that was like the only really crazy thing I had. Probably the most crazy thing I've ever had guiding, because usually everybody's super nice and cool, but this dude like made a fake profile and fake phone number, and I was just waiting at the ramp for him, and it was very, very scary, but figured out how to be a little smarter about checking out profiles and stuff when I book trips, because I just would have never thought of that.
Yeah, I mean, good thing nothing went like majorly wrong, you know.
Yeah, luckily I had a friend who was fishing nearby, and I was like, hey, will you come help me load my boat and stuff up and go home, because I was like, I kind of got a sketchy situation. And long story short, I think I basically like caught on to their plan before they could kind of, you know, do whatever they were going to do, so I got out of there. But yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, no
so
kidding.
You, when you're doing your trips up there, make sure you screen your people very well.
Yeah, I, what, 10-4, I will. That's, yeah, that freaks me out, you know? Ugh.
Yeah, I can take more about that one day. We could spend a little time with that personally, and I can, you know, tell you what to look out for, because that was a brand new deal for me. But other than that, the year was great. You know, met some new people that'll be back next year, and lots of fun for sure.
Awesome. Yeah. So yeah, I'm glad to hear that. It's kind of, I think, you know, pretty much everywhere in the country kind of felt that, like at least as far in as it goes in this industry, you know, everybody during the COVID time was out on the water, you know, even in just recreationally, and it just kind of seemed like it was tougher everywhere.
No doubt.
Yeah. So, cool. So now, you know, I know you're still kind of getting out when the weather's nice, and it sounds like you got a couple of trips left for 2022, but looking ahead in 2023, anything coming down the pipe that you want to talk about? Anything you're excited about?
Kind of mostly, I mean, same stuff. I'm going to add a few lights to my boat, I think, this year. New shirts for my clients, just pretty basic stuff. I always try to, you know, figure out how to do things better. I want to try to get more videos and better videos. I take a lot of videos on my trips. My camera roll is, at one point the other day, my phone was full of storage. I had like 20,000 videos in my camera roll. Yeah, so I'm going to try to take more videos, better videos, and really next year I want to try to hit the spawn better. This year the weather was so kind of janky that I couldn't really, we never got a super good spawn in, so this year I want to really try to hit the spawn better. Nothing major new really, as of now that I've come up with. Just gonna keep trying to make everybody happy and make sure everybody has a good time. New Year's gets here, I'll reach out to all my repeat clients, and that's another thing. At this point, it's kind of like I've got enough people that go every year. You know, I kind of take the same people over and over, which is awesome.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
That's what I like.
Yeah, you get you know, to have relationships with those people, and some of them become your friends, and yeah, it's great.
But I'm gonna make tweaks to, and every year, you know, I learn different stuff, you know, to make the trip better or make it easier, or, you know, so. Just when you think you kind of got it figured out, you're like, okay, no, I don't.
Yeah, oh, I hear that.
Always different stuff you can do. So as of now, I mean, I just, you know, I don't have anything major that I'm going to change around, but, you know, something could definitely come to mind, or, you know, figure something out. But I definitely want to get on the spawn better, because we've had some epic days shooting the buffalo spawning, and last year just wasn't as great, and a lot of it was the weather. And when the weather would be good, I'd be stuck working or something, you know. But just want to try to hit that better next year and try to get some good videos of that for sure.
Awesome. And you know what, I think everybody listening can probably relate to that, because who doesn't want to hit a spawn better, right? You know,
right? That's the time to, when the bow fishers can have their most fun.
That's right. A lot of people, I shouldn't say a lot of people, but there's a decent amount of people that's the only time they bow fish is during that spawn time.
Oh, yeah. We've got some places out here that are, I guess, well known, you know, locally. And in the spring, when the fish are, we have a lot of fields, and I shoot fish in the flooded fields, primarily in the spring when they spawn. That's my favorite thing to do, like, for sure. I mean, I love being on the boat and stuff, but walking around in the fields with the buffalo spawning, that's the best. I love that more than anything. And there'll be a lot of people out there just, you know, going after it and bank shooting, and then that's their one deal for the year. But it's cool to see them all out.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think I've seen some videos of you wading the fields, and that seriously just looks like a blast.
Yeah, that's how we shot the 65-pounder. That day that we shot it was, we'll probably never top that day. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
We had four buffalo to go with that one that were all around the 50-pound mark.
Oh, my gosh.
It was just stupid.
Dang.
But probably a once-in-a-lifetime day, but you never know. We'll keep going and trying.
That's right. That's right. Well, and a lot of people don't even get a day like that in their lifetime. So
right.
To even have one day like that is phenomenal.
It was exhausting. You never know. Sometimes you think it's going to be good and it's not as good. And sometimes you think it's not going to be good and then it turns out to be good. But that was one of those days. Everything was just perfect. And I got out there at like 9 in the morning and I had one friend go with me, and he got tired a couple hours in. Then I had another friend come out and meet me, and I shot till dark, and I was just, man, I was toast.
That's crazy. So, yeah, anybody listening, you don't need a boat to shoot giant fish, okay? You come around to that spawn time, and anybody can do it, no matter what you're working with.
And it doesn't take much to kill them. Get you a cheap bow cheap reel kit, and, I mean, you can shoot them point blank.
Absolutely, and that's how a lot of us started.
Oh, but if the sunshine, wear some polarized glasses, because I had some clients come during the day this year, and they did not bring polarized glasses, and you will not do much fish shooting like that.
Yeah, it is. You need them to see, for sure. Cool. Well, you know, as we kind of wrap this one up here, before I let you go, why don't you share a story or a memory, something that, you know, related to bow fishing that just really sticks with you that you think would be a good one to share on the podcast?
That spawn day I was just talking about, that was pretty, well, I'll tell you the story of the 65 pounder from that day, because that one just kind of is imprinted in my mind.
Love that.
There's so many, like, I know everyone always says that, but, like, there's just so many things, you know, to just sit there and try to think through them. It's like, oh, my gosh, so many fun things happen. But that big one, probably my closest friend, we were shooting these fish that day that spawn was so epic, and we were walking down this gravel road where basically the river was so flooded, it was spilling over the main road and going into the fields straight from the river.
Wow.
And we were walking down this road and we were shooting the fish. They were swimming across the gravel road to get into the fields and spawn. So we, man, it was nuts. So we walked up to this, it's kind of a low spot in the road. It's kind of like a little place the water can run across when that happens. And I looked, and it was kind of dingy, but I just see this huge blob sitting in the water. And I told my buddy, I was like, look at that school of them. I was like, they're spawning together. And he was like, that's one fish. I was like, you're an idiot. I was like, that's a group of fish together. I was like, there's no way that's a fish. I was like, and we were arguing about it, just stupid, just sitting there back and forth. I was like, okay. I was like, well, let's just count to three and let's both shoot and see what happens. So we both draw back, and it was probably like, I don't know, maybe 10 yards or probably not that far. It was pretty close. I'm good at judging distance deer hunting, but when I'm bow fishing, I really don't know how far they are.
Yeah.
It was kind of far because like, if you started walking too close in the water, like, they would go. But so we both counted to three, and we both shot, and our arrows both just hit, and the whole thing started moving. I was like, oh, my God, that is one fish. And one of us hit it in the spine, and the other one hit it, like, middle of the body. So we took the fight out of it, and it just started swimming into the field. And I, at that point, like, I wasn't super excited because I thought we were just shooting into a ball of, like, 10-pounders. And I was like, freaking out. I was like, oh, my God, dude, let's go. So we, like, chased it into the field and grabbed it, and finally we pushed our arrows through, and we just walked it back through the water and got it drug up on the gravel. And as soon as we drug it up on the gravel, a game warden come up, and he was just checked her. He was actually really nice. He checked her fishing license. He was like, I've never seen one of those that big. I was like, well, we haven't either here. So it was and at that point we shot it, and then we went out into the field, and that's when we shot we had done shot a lot of buffalo, but we shot four more that were, you know, all around 50 pounds. A couple of them weren't quite there, but a couple of them were a little over, and it was just one of those days, man. I mean, it just, ugh.
Man, I, like, just listening to that, I, like, I'm almost, like, shaking in my chair right now because I'm so pumped right now.
It's fun.
Oh, jeez. Man, that's fun. That is so much fun. What month was that in?
March. That was March 10th is when we shot those.
March 10th.
Yep. I remember the dates and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, what had happened was we had February, end of February, we had a ton of rain. Everything was flooded out, stupid. And the water kind of started to come down a little bit, enough to where you could safely get in the fields and the roadways. And we had like 3 days of 80-degree weather with all that water. And it, oh man, by like day two, they started, and day three, it was just unreal.
Wow, that's... Man, in March in Minnesota, March 10th in Minnesota, like nine times out of 10, we still have a foot of ice on the lakes.
Yeah. Well, that's another little thing too here. A lot of times guys will go out and look for the fish spawn in like April and May, and usually it's over. Like March, a lot of times when those big buffalo, they get in there and they get it done. I tend to see that too. I tend to see the big ones spawn pretty early.
Okay.
For whatever reason. I don't know if it's because they're up shallow during the winter waiting or what, but if you can get there early, and those big buffalo will do it. And then after that's when the commons and everything come in.
Sure. That is awesome. Well, Cole, thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Hey, thanks for letting me. It was nice talking to you.
Yeah, it was great talking to you. I loved hearing about Alabama. We haven't had anybody on the podcast from Alabama, so this was, you know, super cool to hear about it. And, yeah, I really, appreciate your time. Before I let you go, why don't you just give out your contact info, your social media, so that if people want to get a hold of you to book a trip or see your photos, they can do that.
Yeah. So, my name's Cole Coltis. My guide service is Fatal Impact Guided Bow Fishing. I'm on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok. Whatever you can look up on your phone, I'm going to be on there. And my number is 256-361-7991. If you guys want to go next year, you can give me a shout around New Year's, and I'll start booking the 2023 dates then, and we can get after them.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, thanks again, Cole, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Awesome. Thanks, Cody.